morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
Serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Midday Grind, 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. 12:02, about to be 12:03 in the great city of St. Louis. Charlie Marlowe, Chris Gardner, David Solomon, Martin Kilcoyne out the rest of the week. This short week for the Thanksgiving holiday, it feels like we're getting there. You know what I'm saying? And we were kind of commenting off air, Chris Gardner, you're not mailing it in. It's a holiday week. You're still bringing hot sports takes, but you can kind of see the finish line in terms of the holiday being just so close.
You can kind of mail it in. Can you half mail it in?
Relatively speaking, yes.
Are we going to do like...
We're still doing a show.
Okay. But are we going to like mail it in a way where we just do like sports talk radio cliche topics like sports turkeys? Who's your sports turkey of the year? What kind of side dish at the Thanksgiving table is LeVar Ball or something like that?
Now, why would you bring up those two particular topics? Is it because just about 15, 20 minutes ago on my personal Twitter, I threw those questions out there?
Yeah, kind of in a way. Okay. But that's how you kind of half mail it in. You're like, all right, we got to talk about something. This is an easy way and a topical way to get into something. Or what you're thankful for.
We'll do that at the end.
Oh.
It's fun stuff, though.
I didn't know that.
It's fun stuff for a pre-holiday show. We have Dave Matter talking about Missouri basketball in the news yesterday with Michael Porter Jr. That's around 12:15. Also, some Mizzou football talk with Dave Matter. And we'll get into all those topics as well. I want to tell you about Appliance Discounters, 6 convenient locations in Missouri and Illinois, Webster Grove, South St. Louis County, St. Charles, Baldwin, St. Louis City, and Fairview Heights, Illinois. Check them out on the web at theappliancediscounters.com. Yeah, so I threw out there on Twitter, best Thanksgiving side dish. I gave people 4 options. These were my personal options because also you could only do 4. I'm not a big cranberry sauce person, so I just did green bean casserole, mashed potatoes, stuffing, and then yams slash sweet potatoes.
You're missing the best one.
Which was what?
Cheesy potatoes.
See, that's tough. I just feel like Thanksgiving, though, is a mashed potatoes day.
Mm.
But that's a good option.
I think I'll do cheesy potatoes at both Thanksgiving and Christmas, wherever I might be. It's going to be an option. Is that an option everywhere? Like our coastal elitist eating cheesy potatoes? Or do they look down upon us in flyover country for doing so on holidays?
And maybe, too, that's more of a Christmas dish than Thanksgiving. But get your text in, 855-282-8255. Favorite Thanksgiving side dish. Who's your sports turkey of the year?
Keep it rolling.
And I tweeted it out, and I think of the 10 responses so far, I think you can guess who the sports turkey of the year. You won't be able to guess who the other person was. And it's an interesting one. Somebody threw out Matt Ryan, basically, for blowing the Super Bowl, being part of the Falcons. Now, that was a long time ago. But if you're going sports turkey of the year, I think the whole 28-3 lead thing, a lot of people still remember that. I don't know if I blame Matt Ryan specifically, but one vote for Matt Ryan, and then, of course, 9 or 10 for LeVar Ball.
I saw one response to you on social media that kind of tied in your recent stay on the morning show into the topic where they said Bill Russell.
I did see that.
That was my favorite one so far.
I didn't include that one because I knew it was a joke. Going back to Plowsy, basically, maybe not giving Bill Russell as much credit as he should for being a great NBA basketball player. So we're going to talk a lot of Michael Porter Jr., but we'll do that in about 9 minutes when Dave Matter joins the program. So let's start with a little Blues. Last night, 8-3, they demolish the Oilers. And I know it's not a new topic about the Blues top line being potentially the best in the NHL, put him up there versus the Tampa Bay line with Stamkos and Kucherov. And these things kind of change night by night. One team plays, one team goes off, the next team plays. But right now, in points in the NHL, you got Stamkos with the lead, 35. Kucherov has 33. And then you have Jaden Schwartz and Braden Schenn tied for fourth with 30 points. Tarasenko is sixth with 26 points. And then plus minus, this is where the Blues line, they lead all of the NHL. Schwartz and Schenn tied for first with a plus 19. Tarasenko third with a plus 18. They each had 4 points last night, racking up 12 points as a line in that win.
Well, I found it most noteworthy, too, and Braden Schenn, and we have him here talking about it after the game, but it's just amazing how fast they meshed. You know, Schwartz and Tarasenko, they've played together for the most part for the last 5 years, but Braden Schenn came right away, gelled with Schwartz, then Tarasenko went on their line, gelled with them as well, and I found it interesting Braden Schenn's comments after the game on just how well they get along on and off the ice.
It's just clicking. I think we're working for one another. We're able to control the puck a little bit down low and just kind of find each other on the ice. We kind of know where each other are right now and playing a give and go type of game and able to create opportunities from it.
And I just found that interesting because there are some guys who, for whatever reason, when they're on the ice together, they just never find that chemistry, like Keith Tkachuk, Doug Weight. Two of the linchpins of the Blues teams in the early 2000s, they just never could mesh on the ice together.
And I guess maybe even in recent years, I mean, just because Tarasenko had his pacifier and Jori Lehterä on the team, obviously, we've dealt with that situation.
Pacifier.
Yeah. But
I've never heard that. That's a good analogy.
He always had to have Lehterä with him. But, I mean, even when they threw Stastny in there, it would last for a couple, three games. At one point, and then you would hear about, oh, there's just not a good mix there. I never really bought it because I don't know, maybe Tarasenko didn't have that. What do they call that, Charlie? Buy-in? Is it buy-in? That's the phrase
that
was, people
that would be on the Hitch bingo card.
Yeah, that was okay. Hitch's go-to.
There
one
wasn't
of
necessarily the buy-in maybe with just Lehterä around, but obviously we got the buy-in going with the line of that's currently, you know, being employed with Schenn, Schwartz, and Tarasenko.
Which, again, and I know a lot of people have thrown this out there, Kelly Chase and many hockey people, both locally and nationally, we do need to find a great name for this line. And it's just, it's hard to. You take the names, Schenn, Schwartz, Tarasenko, SST, TSS. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're trying to think of an acronym. You had the STL line, which was really good for a while, which we like to talk about. And then you had the checking line.
Easy marketing, too.
The Reeves. This is going back a couple years now. You had the checking line. It was before Upshaw, right?
You had the CPR line. Cracknell, Porter, and Reeves together.
Yes, there you go. And that's a great name. But I think this line, we have to think of a name for it. So let's get your text in on that as well. But I feel like this is something that we've kind of thought about for a month or so, and we haven't got a good name yet for the Schwartz, Tarasenko, Schenn line. But get your text in, 855-282-8255. I want to tell you about the celebration of repeal of Prohibition Day with Budweiser's limited edition 1933 Repeal Reserve Amber Lager. It's a celebration of our freedom to brew. It's a rich amber lager with higher ABV than Budweiser. And in a stubby bottle, the vintage look is inspired by the 1930s style of beer. You can find the 1933 Repeal Reserve in stores now, and consumers will want to pick it up ASAP because it's selling really fast. 590 The Fan will be hosting the Repeal of Prohibition Party, that's hard to say, at Filoni's on December 5th, the day of the Prohibition Repeal. 590 The Fan will be on remote at Filoni's all day to celebrate. There will be AB Brewmasters, brand ambassadors, and special giveaways at the Prohibition Party. Keep listening as more details will come out on this great event. So I'm watching the game last night, the Blues game, and it's on NBC Sports Network, and it just did look so lopsided. And I'm watching either one of the intermission reports or the post game where one of the analysts just basically said it didn't look like the Oilers wanted to be there. And at one point that it was men versus boys. And you never want to say that a team quits, but in the third period there when the Blues score another 4 goals, at that point I didn't see a lot of pride on the other side.
I can't remember the exact words Todd McClellan had in the post game, but I saw they were very short, and then he kind of walked off. So he was kind of obviously pissed off about how that performance went. But, I mean, even watching that first period, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what the hell happened to the Oilers? This is a playoff team last year.
Connor McDavid?
Yeah, and I know he's been dealing with a sickness here over the past several days. So you give him somewhat of a pass because he did show a couple bursts last night, but not a whole lot. It was more early on, too. I think probably the one I'm thinking of is the scoring chance they had right away when he almost set up Patty Maroon on the opposite side. But that was about it. And, you know, I'm trying to read about them over the past several weeks. I'm not trying to, but I've just seen some things talking about just even when healthy, McDavid and others just turning the puck over constantly. And you just watch them in their own zone last night, and the Blues were just having their way with them. Just on the boards and space in front of the net. I was just sitting, like, as good as the Blues were playing, I was shocked at how bad the Oilers looked as well.
This seems like they've gone right back after the one-year kind of hiatus in the playoffs. They've gone right back to being the Oilers teams of old, where you have a bunch of offensive either studs or
which
supposed
they do.
To be studs. And they do have legit players, you know, in Connor McDavid. You have Milan Lucic. You know, Pat Maroon showed that he can play. But defense and team play, kind of a afterthought. You know, you've got Chris Russell blocking a bunch of shots. But after that, how much do you ever hear anything about the Oilers' defense?
Well, you saw them just... I mean, they were non-existent at times.
Exactly. And last I checked, Gretzky, Messier, Curry, and company aren't coming back anytime soon. This isn't the 80s where you can win games 7-5 on a nightly basis.
Yeah. On the text line, we have a STS line. I just don't think that's... We can do better is my point.
The problem, like, you got
and
two
also,
Canadians and a Russian.
Shorashenko. I think we can do better. Shorashenko.
No, I can work with that, possibly. That's like a celebrity... It's not a celebrity couple.
Or we've got a new one on the text line, too. The Sick Stanky Tank Line.
I like that. And Tarasenko mixing it up yesterday. That was great to see. Although, I don't want to say it's great to see. It's fun to see Tarasenko get in a fight. But I think we can all agree, a guy who could score you 50 goals, you probably don't want him throwing a ton of punches over the course of a season, potentially breaking a hand or a finger in a fight. But it's cool to see him sticking up for his teammates.
It's a great once a year or once every other year type of thing, but the minute he breaks a hand or a finger or something in a fight or has a TJ Oshie type injury where he breaks an ankle, then you're going to instantly say it's not going to be what a warrior for sticking up to his teammates. It's going to be what on earth was he thinking?
Yeah, and the crowd reaction. I went back and listened to Chris Kerber's call as well. Very well done. But I think a lot of people that were at the game were commenting on how the reaction was louder for Tarasenko's fight on than any goal he's scored this year. One other thing, too, with the Blues game. When did they start having a guy bring a trumpet? Is that a new thing, David?
I've noticed some forms of horns, but something that blatant's been very recent, and I don't think it's the team condoning it, per se, but they're obviously
looking the
other way.
There's a guy with a trumpet there last night. I'm hearing this guy, he's just playing like Seven Nation Army over, like he has no variety in his playlist. At least, if you're going to bring a brass instrument, at least have five songs ready to go. The organist will. So if you're the guy bringing the trumpet, or ma'am, have a little more variety in your songs at least.
Want to tell you guys about Miller Furniture, the home of quality American-made furniture on both sides of the river. Is Miller Furniture. It's M-U-E-L-L-E-R. Check them out on the web, millerfurniture.com. Located in Belleville, Illinois since 1927 and now open in Lake St. Louis. Both stores are offering huge Black Friday discounts now through November 28th. Save 50% off list price on all FlexSteel power reclining furniture, including the brand new sofas and recliners with power adjustable headrests and power lumbar support. This stuff is fantastic. Plus 50% off all Amish-made furniture. Mention this spot, and you'll receive a free pancake and sausage breakfast available at both stores on Black Friday in the morning, David Solomon. How about that? 8:30 to 11 on Black Friday. Mention this ad. Miller Furniture will give you the free breakfast, and you'll get a lot of great deals as well. Also, B&G Tuck Pointing. Rich Galati and his team provide multiple brickwork services, including chimney repair, solid and spot tuck pointing, rebuilding or relaying, foundation repair, caulking, waterproofing, and more. Named after Rich's daughters, Bella and Gabrielle, B&G Tuck Pointing is second to none when it comes to quality work. Rich has been in the business for many years. B&G Tuck Pointing is the premier contractor for tuck pointing in the area for residential and commercial customers. They're workman's comp and general liability insured, so don't wait. If you need brickwork service, call B&G Tuck Pointing today at 314-363-0525 or visit bgtuckpointing.com and see samples of their work. You can also email Rich directly at bngtuckpointing@hotmail.com. That's bgtuckpointing.com or call 314-363-0525. B&G Tuck Pointing, the best in the bricks. All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Talk about the huge news yesterday with Michael Porter Jr., Dave Matter of the Post-Dispatch joining us here. Dave, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Good, Charlie. How are you?
Doing really well. So kind of take us through yesterday when you finally hear the news and you had the report the day before that Michael Porter Jr. was going to see a specialist. It sure seemed the last week and a half or so that this seemed like something bigger than a day-to-day leg injury, and it sure was. Kind of your thoughts on what things, you know, how it unfolded yesterday.
Well, you know, this was a situation where Missouri's team medical staff, for them it was a day-to-day situation. They had prescribed a treatment plan for Michael. He was in the middle of that, and the family essentially sought out a second opinion, which that's not rare and everyday common life for all of us. I mean, people get second opinions all the time. It's a little bit unconventional with a college athlete, with this medical team of doctors and trainers and surgeons that all work with the athletes here. But for whatever reason, they wanted to get another opinion. They saw the specialist in Dallas on Monday, and sure enough, Michael went under the knife yesterday to get this back surgery done on his lower, you know, lumbar region, and it's going to put him out for 3 to 4 months. I would be shocked if, you know, he plays again in college. It just seems like this is the kind of surgery to take care of this injury so that he can be ready in the spring and summer when the NBA draft prep time rolls around. And so his Missouri career ends up being 127 seconds. It was very memorable. He was very efficient with one shot and one basket. And I think that's going to be the end of the Michael Porter Jr. era at Missouri.
That is crazy when you say that. It almost sounds like a 30 for 30 type. But what if I told you the greatest recruit in Mizzou history ends up scoring just one basket in his career? I was reading your article, and you mentioned the fact that the Missouri doctor suggested that, you know, he could opt not to have surgery, have treatment. Maybe he comes back in 3 months. He obviously goes to see the specialist, second opinion, which is not something that, you know, it's not rare. That happens all the time. And I know in the sports talk radio world, we kind of are always looking to blame someone, but you can kind of see both sides of it where, yeah, if you're a Mizzou fan, you'd love to see this guy try to get back on the court and help out in his freshman year. But also, if you're Michael Porter Jr. and you could be the number one pick in the NBA draft, you could also see why it wouldn't make sense for him to push it this year and make sure he's healthy and ready to go for the draft.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, he is, bottom line, he is not an everyday player that comes into the program. If he's a guy that you know you're going to have for 3 or 4 or 5 years, you know, the cautious approach saying, hey, you know, you don't need to have the surgery. You know, let's gut this out and see what physical therapy can do for a few weeks. And if you get back for, you know, conference play, then that's great. And then you can rest up during the off season and be ready for your sophomore year. But, you know, obviously it's a different situation when you're talking about a lottery pick and a guy who the only reason, let's be honest, the only reason he's in college from the first place is because the rules say he has to be, or at least he has to wait 1 year before entering the draft. If he were allowed to enter the draft out of high school, which is the old rule, you know, he never would have had to step foot on Missouri campus. So it's great that they got him. I think they still will continue to pay off from everything that he's brought to the program, just the excitement level, the sold-out season tickets, you know, the other recruits that came along that probably don't come along without Porter, including his brother. So there's still some positive from his arrival, but, you know, at the end of the day, he only played 2 minutes, and that's probably all he's going to play for Missouri.
And Dave did the news that he was going to have surgery, that was the opinion of this, the second opinion. Did that catch like Konzo Martin off guard or anyone else on the coaching staff?
From what I understand, they thought that something would be decided yesterday or today. It would either be, okay, he's going to go with this the team's treatment plan and see, continue to go day by day, because that's really what something like that is. It's kind of, okay, how much can you, when are you comfortable enough to be able to play while you're going through, you know, recovery and rehab and physical therapy and that, or it's going to be decided he's going to have surgery. So I think we were going to have an answer in the middle of this week before they tipped off tomorrow in the AdvoCare Invitational. So I don't think they're shocked. You know, maybe if you asked them a week ago, I think they would have been surprised by this, because at that point, I think the feeling was still that he was going to, you know, go day by day and see how long, you know, it would take to get back on the court. So, yeah, I think this thing just developed over time in a short amount of time, to where, you know, he was on a plane Monday to see what the specialist could do for him.
How long is an acceptable period of time for fans mourning, I guess, at this point?
Well, if Missouri plays well in this tournament in Orlando, and it's not a great field, I mean, they play Long Beach State tomorrow, then in the second round they get either Oregon State or St. John's, or the best team, the only really good team in the field is West Virginia, which Missouri couldn't play until the final game on Sunday. If they go 2-1, if they go 3-0, I think people will, it'll help the process a little bit. If they are able to beat Illinois in a packed house in at Scott Trade in about a month, I think they'll feel good too. But I do think it'll probably take some time, because I think we've seen the last couple games what this Missouri team is. Granted, they played much better their first two games without Porter than they did the last two games. I'm guessing the real team is somewhere in the middle. But I think the more these freshmen come along, the bigger roles they play, the more they kind of figure out the college game, including his brother, Jonte. I still think this is a better team than we've seen at Missouri for a while. It just doesn't have the ceiling or the upside that it would have had with Michael Porter Jr. on the floor.
We're talking with Dave Matter, Missouri Tigers beat writer for the Post-Dispatch. Yeah, and that was going to be my next question, is what do you think now are realistic expectations? I think we asked you the same question before the season started with Michael Porter Jr., and I was thinking, I think with all those guys coming in, with MPJ, if they made the tournament, even if they didn't win a game, you know, unless they were like a 4 seed and there was a big upset, but if they just got to the tournament, I thought that was fair. Even though you have the number one recruit in the country with a really young team, what do you think now without Michael Porter Jr.? I wouldn't think this is a tournament team. Do you think so?
I don't think so. You know, the other night when they played at Utah, and granted, that was still a team that kind of thought Michael was coming back. So you don't know what the mindset was. I think now that they have a little closure, you know, maybe we'll see a different team on the floor. I think Missouri 5th in the SEC, and I think it's a really good league at the top at least. And going into the season, after seeing them at Kansas, you know, the way that they stood tall against what I think is a really, really good Kansas team, at least, you know, not a deep Kansas team, but a talented Kansas team, I put Missouri in my top 25 ballot after that game. Now, obviously, I've taken them out since then, but now I think, yeah, the expectations have to change. They have to shift. I still think they can be a middle-of-the-pack team in the SEC, somewhere from, you know, 7 to 10, and maybe surprise some people if they play well at home. I mean, that could really, you know, boost this group, because, as we know, even under Jim Anderson, they struggled at home. There was no home court advantage. It's going to be tough on the road with a nucleus that's really young, and without that lottery pick talent in Porter. So it'll be really interesting just to see how quickly they bounce back. This is still a group that is not accustomed to winning at this level, because either you got guys that were from some teams that were really beat down that lost a lot of games the last 3 years, or you've got some rookies, some newcomers who just haven't really experienced winning at the college level yet.
It's amazing too how much things can change in a matter of, let's say, 5 weeks ago. If you're a Missouri fan and you're thinking the football season's over, Barry Odom is probably done, I can't wait for basketball season and Michael Porter Jr., and now 5 weeks later, MPJ is probably out for the season. The football team has won 5 straight games. Barry Odom's coming back. And now we're talking about Drew Locke and if he'll go to the NFL. I mean, it's kind of crazy how it has literally, it's been a 180 for both programs.
Yeah, it really has. And, you know, I don't think anybody could have predicted either one, really. And then to have them happen simultaneously is just really wild. I mean, what Barry has done with this football team, you know, nobody's going to be throwing a parade for a 7-5 team, and they're not going to get a lot of national exposure. But it's really hard in college football to lose 5 games in a row to be, you know, on the hot seat like he was, obviously, to have these, to keep your locker room together and to get these guys still believing in the cause. Because usually the locker room goes south, you know, players, you know, there's factions on the team, whether it's offense versus defense, young versus old, I mean, you name it. Things just collapse usually. And he kept this group together, and you know, all they did was, and it's not just that they're winning. I mean, they're winning games and they're blowing out everybody in their path. You know, the last week when they beat Vanderbilt, that was their closest win they've had this year, and it was a 28-point margin. So he's pushed all the right buttons, and the guys have bought in, which is, it's hard to do when you're struggling early. And you know, I'd expect them to win handily again Friday at Arkansas.
So I guess it's weird for me to say this, Dave, but I'm looking for maybe a little bit of an opportunity here for the Missouri basketball program, because you just mentioned what Barry Odom has been able to do when faced with the challenge this year and have his team reel off the amount of wins they have here towards the end of the season. But when you lose a guy like Michael Porter Jr. for Konzo Martin, I agree with what Gordo wrote in the paper and at STLtoday.com. That I've always thought college basketball, college football, we talk, you know, you get excited when you get like a top recruit, something like that. But it's always the coaches that are the stars, that
right.
Yeah, that, you know, that kind of are the faces of your program. No matter, Michael Porter Jr. was going to be there one year, no matter what. The face of your program going forward always has been, is going to be Konzo Martin. And there's kind of a little bit of an opportunity here for him to kind of display his coaching chops.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, you know, if there was a concern going in that the other players were just going to be seen as a supporting castmates, and they seem to be pretty happy with that. They're like, hey, they welcome this guy with open arms, anything to help them have a better chance to win games. But now he kind of has to turn the tables on them and say, hey, guys, you're not just sidekicks anymore. We need all of you. Mm-hmm. Who knows who's going to be the leading scorer every night? So the it's not pressure. Now it's an opportunity. The savior is not here. You know, I don't even know if he's going to be on the bench the rest of the season. So it's time for guys like Jordan Barnett and Kevin Puryear. You can't defer to the freshman prodigy anymore. Not that they really did, because they didn't play with him very much. So yeah, I think you're right. It is an opportunity, and I think too, Konzo has to adjust on the fly. I mean, he built an offense around Michael. He planned on playing more zone defense this year because of Michael's length and just his. The skills that he had, and now you've got to, you know, it's still early, but it's middle of the season. You got to regroup, and you have to adjust. I think there is, if you're looking for a silver lining, I think it's better that it happened now than if it happened 2 days before they start SEC play and they go on the road to South Carolina and then they get Florida at home. At least now, after this tournament and outside of the Illinois game, you've got a lot of mid majors that'll come to Mizzou Arena where you can. You know, you can work on some things without, you know, the expectation that you might lose the game. Although the other night against Emporia State, it was pretty shaky, and they were fortunate to pull that one out.
RJ, we're going to do Frank Cusumano, no hedging. Quick here, Drew Locke, percentage he comes back to Mizzou.
I'd say 65-35 coming back.
All right, favorite Thanksgiving side dish, important question.
Oh, it's cranberries, no doubt.
Wow.
The kind in the can. The can, yes.
All right. And your sports turkey of the year, who's been the biggest turkey in 2017?
Can I say the president and still be sticking to sports since he seems to stick to sports a lot?
That's fine. I think we've got a lot of LeVar Ball answers, and they're kind of feuding. They should probably just wrestle it out at SummerSlam. So
I think it's great that, like, LeVar Ball is, like, admittedly being a total troll here, and he is capturing in his troll jar, he has captured the leader of the free world. So it's hard to go away from those two.
And before we let you go, I'm always thinking about the Mizzou beat writers. There seems to be so much drama over the years, off the field, off the court stuff. And I know we just had the Michael Porter news, but you have to feel good about the fact no coaching search. You can just have Thanksgiving, hopefully Christmas. You don't have to worry about the coaching search like basically every other beat writer in the SEC.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, you know, if between AD searches and major sport head coaches, football and men's basketball, I mean, Missouri's been on a run here for a while. So it will be nice to get through the new year and not have to deal with that.
And Dave, one final thing. I know you got Mizzou and Arkansas on Friday, right after Thanksgiving and on the football field. But I have no question about the game, but I just want to file my complaint that I think the trophy that they award, they could do a lot better, than whatever they're offering right now with just like a metal outline of the states.
It's like a thousand pounds. I mean, the thing is, it's ridiculous. It's like they're, I think Ben Fred said the other day, it's like they're trying to compensate for something with the size of that thing.
Perfect way to end the interview. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time, and happy Thanksgiving.
Great, guys. Thank you. Thanks.
All right, that's Dave Matter, Tigers beat writer for the Post-Dispatch. Join us here on the Midday Grind talking about Michael Porter Jr. and the Mizzou football program as well. And his number was 65% on Drew Locke coming back. I believe Gabe DeArmond this morning on the morning after said 75% coming back. Then I was also listening as I was driving in, and Frank was talking with Vahe Gregorian, and that was more of just a yes-no or the gut feeling, and Vahe said he is coming back. That's his gut.
Let's do it. Let's do another sports cliche, sports radio cliche type question. Who goes pro first, Drew Locke or Michael Porter Jr.?
Okay.
There you go.
So NFL draft, I know it's usually at the end of April. Sometimes it's been early May, but we have the NBA draft in June. I think Drew Locke's coming back. I could be wrong on that. All it takes is one team to want him if he gets a first-round grade.
Yeah.
If he's one of the top four or five quarterbacks, how many years do four or five quarterbacks go in the first round? That's not terribly uncommon.
I find it weird that the best news Mizzou fans got this week was news that Barry Odom was coming back next year to be football coach, and probably half the fan base is, you know, mixed reviews on it in terms of if they like that idea or not. But that's the best news that happened this week.
I understand that, but I think even if you're very, I don't want to say anti-Barry Odom, because I think everybody does like him as a person, but the first six games, there are a lot of people that are Mizzou fans that want the program to succeed that would have been fine with getting rid of him right there at the bye week. So is he going to be Gary Pinkel? Is he going to be there 10 years and be a guy who leads this program to a bowl game every year and wins 11 games every 5 years? I don't know the answer to that, but I do think it's obviously fair to say he deserves year three to see if he can build off this. And it sure as hell would help if Drew Locke is there, because if Drew Locke is not there, you have basically a rebuild on offense. And look, coming into this year, it took them six games to kind of get things going.
Yeah, you'd have hot seat talk, I think, immediately again next year.
Right off the bat?
Yeah.
With no Drew Locke?
Just things weren't, it would take some time for things to shake out offensively what you want. I just don't see how it wouldn't.
Want to tell you all about Bertarelli Cutlery, one of our favorite spots. In 1967, Felice Bertarelli started Bertarelli Cutlery in his garage with his four sons. For the last 50 years, his family business has been dedicated to providing the finest service possible. Whether it be knife sharpening for the commercial or residential kitchen, food prep equipment repair, or offering quality paper products such as register tape, to-go boxes, and hygienic gloves, while they have grown over the last 50 years, they still offer the same face-to-face service that has been their trademark for three generations. Bertarelli Cutlery on the Hill at 1927 Marconi, or on the web at BertarelliCutlery.com. We'll take a break. Coming back, we got Gardner's Grinder. Get your texts in, 855-282-8255. So many original text topics. Favorite Thanksgiving side dish, sports turkey of the year. What do we name the line of Tarasenko, Shen, and Schwartz? All that and a whole lot more coming up next on the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.